Good morning, Gateway. Morning. My name's Alicia Fortier, and I have the pleasure of sitting up here with our three wise men.
That was not supposed to generate laughter.
They paid me. They paid me for that. To talk about our new series, we just finished Galatians, Paul's letter to Galatia, and it was fiery and it was awesome. And now we're going to jump into a new series, and we're going to lead for about 30 minutes a discussion about the book and hopefully tantalize you and get you interested in it. It's one of my favorite books, and it's very personal to me. It's the book of Psalms. Confessional moment for all of you. As a little girl, I remember walking in one Easter Sunday morning with this big banner waving, and it had a chapter and verse about Easter, and it was the book Psalms. And I was reading it, and I said, well, I've never heard of that book, Psalms. And my mom, I had mentioned it to her, and she's like, Alicia, the P is silent. And I was like, oh. And ever since then, every time I open up that book, I'm like, oh, it's Psalms. And so my kids have heard it all the time. Anytime we get to the book of Psalms, I say it that way. So we are going to talk a little bit about Psalms, and we're going to baseline off me. I now know that it's silent P, and these three wise men are going to share with us what's so interesting about this book and why we're going to launch into a series about it. So gentlemen, why Psalms? Sell us.
So I think we started off feeling like if you're not reading the Psalms, you're missing something. Some of us don't regularly read the Psalms. We don't have a rhythm of reading the Psalms regularly. And if you're not reading the Psalms, you're missing something. That was actually your quote, John. So what are we missing?
So what are we missing if we're not regularly in the Psalms? I think we're missing a few things. You know, one is we're missing, or we can be missing, some honest interaction with God. Because the Psalms are honest. They're actually raw. They're written from within the storm. They're not written and then polished and bleached out afterwards, like we want to do a lot of times with our lives. They're raw. They're written in the middle of the storm. So there's an honesty to them that a lot of times, I'll be honest, we're not comfortable with getting in God's face with that kind of honesty. So I think if we're not regularly in the Psalms, we're missing that kind of honesty. Another thing I think we're missing is if we're not regularly in the Psalms, we're missing being shaped. We're missing being shaped. As one writer says, the reason why modern Christians are not more interested in justice, are not more invested in seeing justice done, is because they're not regularly praying and singing the Psalms.
We were talking about what series we might do next, and I remember you brought that up, John, and I think that's really what convinced me that we should do this. The Psalms, we agreed together, the Psalms train our sensibilities and our inclinations and our priorities,
And another thing is, most of us don't realize, because it's in the Bible, sometimes we just think that it's written 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, and people who know nothing about what we are going through. But honestly, as you read the Psalms, you're going to be heard in the Psalms. The things that you're going through right now shockingly show up in the Psalms. And if you're not in it, you don't realize the connection that you have for millennia with brothers and sisters of the faith who have walked this life here on earth with us, and they leave us an amazing legacy.
A resource that we want to strongly recommend, I've mentioned this a few times on Sunday morning, but if you don't know this resource, look it up this week, BibleProject.org. They do a really good job of summarizing various books in the Bible. They have an overview video of the Psalms. It's fantastic. We watched that together, and we were all three knocked out by the idea, and it's where the subtitle for our series comes from. We were all three knocked out by the idea that the Psalms is our literary temple. And that was related to when they were written, but also during the period of time when, after which the temple in Jerusalem had been ransacked and devastated. Remember, the temple in Jerusalem was the place that they went to kind of remind them and to feel and experience God's presence. And this was sort of a stable and a standard in their history for a couple of hundred years. And then it's wiped out. And the Psalms became for them that place. Instead of walking into the temple and seeing all the symbols and recognizing this represents that and this represents that, the Psalms became that place where they could have that experience of God, that almost visceral experience of God. So it became their portable, their literary temple.
I know with the Psalms, you hear there's lots of different authors and there's individual conversations with God, but then there's corporate worship that they did. I'm wondering, what are some of the emotions that you encounter? There's 150 Psalms. There's a range. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the emotion that comes to mind, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, is grief. One of the emotions, and I'll be honest with you, I don't do well with grief. And I know a lot of us don't do well with grief either. If I do hit a patch of grief, or the times I have hit that in my life, I just want to stuff it and make it go away. I don't do well with pain. And I think a lot of us are in the same way. So that's, grief is a big one. The Psalms address this. I love it. As Alicia said, the whole gamut of emotions are on the table for us to interact with God in God's presence.
I'd say one of the ones, I'm sorry, John, one of the ones that surprises me is anger.
Anger. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And disappointment.
Yeah.
And
depression.
Yeah.
Just want to key in the anger thing. Yeah. How many of you were ever taught in Sunday school that it's okay to yell at God? Probably not. But if you do, you're in good company. You're actually probably reciting a psalm and not even knowing it. Mm-hmm. So no emotions are off, the entire spectrum of human emotions, anger and grief and joy. Let's not forget that. Absolute joy in being alive and in enjoying the good things of God's creation.
You know what it makes me think of, John? Remember that day we were talking, Dean, I'm going to ask you to explain this, because we were talking about this, the three of us together, and we were especially talking about the negative emotions that Psalm, because there's a surprising amount of that. I mean, there's joy, definitely.
There's a lot.
But we talked about how the Psalms acknowledge that. They see you. You feel seen and heard in it. But then you said, Dean, they don't let you stay there. And what did you mean?
Yeah, because we recognize what we're feeling, but that's not where we're supposed to stay. Because recognize, all the emotions that we're talking about, God gave us all of them. But we serve a purpose in expressing those, to get them off our chest and to get going. And for some of us, we recognize that if we're not careful, we sit in this thing. But the Psalms just don't let you get there. They don't let you stay there. And so that's the power of it. It allows for you to be able to feel those emotions, be as openly honest as possible. Because remember, the Psalms is not about deceiving yourself. We don't deny the reality of pain. We just defy it because of the God that we serve.
The Psalms, I've likened them sometimes to like the private journal that some of us have. They're so raw. They're so honest. And as Dean said, the thing that maybe we don't have in our journals is that completeness of going through that emotion of despair. And for example, David crying out, "You are my refuge. You're my strong tower." And all the forces were against him. And then he points and turns his eyes to the Lord in the midst of it. There's the hope at the end of it that is so powerful. And so as I started reading the Psalms, it was good because it was the biblical part of what Dean was saying, that we got to experience that emotion and then continue the full scope to turning our eyes to Christ and to God. Because God's in there.
He's in there.
Ed, you mentioned that yeah. there's the messianic call of Jesus throughout the Psalms. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we could talk a little bit. So what do we learn in the Psalms? You know, what do we learn? You know, one of the things we do see all over the Psalms is it's Jesus's book. It really is.
Some of it literally. Some of them are literally messianic.
Are messianic Psalms. So when we say messianic, we mean that they give us insight as to who, started by giving his ancient people insight as to who this messianic king was going to be.
There's a couple of psalms, most of you know this, there's a couple of psalms where they give a description of the death of Jesus. And they didn't know exactly who they were talking, we know, but they didn't know exactly who they were talking about. I interrupted you.
Yeah. He interrupted me, but that's okay.
This is controlled chaos.
We don't need to point that out.
Right. So the messianic king, you know, we see that, and that starts in Psalm 2. I'm going to be talking about that next week when we do our launch into individual psalms. But what we do see in all over the psalms is who this king is going to be, and he is going to be magnificent, a one-of-a-kind king.
Now, we know that it's Psalms, not Psalms, and there's 150 of them, but is there a structure? How do we approach looking at these 150 letters to us, so to speak?
Yeah.
We have them broken down for us here on the screen. So the book of Psalms begins with an introduction. One of the biggest dangers for you is if you go through the book of Psalms and you start from Psalm 1 and go all the way out to a Psalm 1, you think you're just reading a collection of Psalms.
Almost random, right? They seem almost random.
But it's not that.
Yeah.
They're actually structured. Yeah. The first two songs, they are not, we don't know who wrote them, they're anonymous, but they form the introduction to the very book, I mean the entire Psalter, okay? And then we have five distinct books, and they go this way, next slide. Next slide. Book one is Psalms 3 to 41. There's a call to covenant faithfulness. Is there anything else there? Yep. Mm-hmm. In the center of it, which is Psalm 19, it's the Torah. Now, if you guys are not familiar with that, the Torah was literally the foundational bedrock for the Jewish people. It taught them what it meant to be children of God, to follow the book of Moses who gave them the law. It was the whole way they're supposed to live. And right smack in the middle is the reiteration of the Torah in Psalm 19. David looms large in book one because his descendant is the future messianic king. That messianic king came long before, the promise of that king came long before King David. But when God wanted to centralize it and help people see who this is, who this person will be, he wanted it to look at a descendant of David. And so David looms large in this, and his Davidic king is going to be the one that we're looking for. Okay? Ed, you want to pick up book two?
Sure. So remember, as we go through this, you can Google this. You can find this in that Bible Project video that we talked about. The point here is to have in the back of your mind, there's a framework for this. They're taking you somewhere. The Psalms are both individual, but they're also, they're going somewhere. So book two, scroll through these, Frank, hope for future return, future king of, future reign of the Messianic king, echoes of the prophets in book two. So you get themes and you get rhythm as you move through these. And they are divided into these sections. You'll see it in your psalm. You know, honestly, I've been reading the Psalms for many years and I didn't really take much notice of this. But you'll see in your Bible, they label it book one, book two, book three, book four. Yeah. Book three does what?
Yeah, so we'll talk about this a second. the promise of the Messianic kingdom. So when God's kingdom fully comes through this earth, it's a backdrop to, oh, this is a dark moment in Israel's history, the downfall and exile of David's kingdom. So again, you know, this incredible tragedy that didn't have to happen but did in the entire nation of Israel is on the table with God's people as they interact with their king.
And so you see lots of lamenting and weeping and sorrow at what's befallen them.
And this is the context.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that book four? Yeah. Book four, they're responding to what's happened in book three. And again, they've just edited these and organized these to tell God's story. And yet, in spite of what's happened, the Lord reigns as king overall. So book four is that reminder for us. In spite of what's happened in our lives, the Lord is still on the throne. He still reigns. And it's calling all of us to praise him. And then in book five, we get that. God hears us and is going to send the Messianic king, defeat evil, and bring God's kingdom, the Hallel or the praise, and the songs of ascent. And these are the songs that typically would have been sung by the people or by the army as they're going up to Jerusalem. So if you want to be uplifted and if you need to praise God one morning or one evening, go to the end of book five and you'll find tons of praise. You'll be given God's word to give back to God.
And notice there's a trajectory here. So the book starts out with two different types of psalms, lament and praise. And as you watch your trajectory, we go from lament to praise. So the very structure of the Psalter works that way. So you might lament about what's going on. Life is hard. It's tough. But you're not going to be left there. You're going to move toward praise. And then the final five of Psalms, they go, the conclusion of it is literally all about praise. It's all it is, all about praise.
So I want to talk about lament a little bit. I know we've already hit on it. But again, I think this is the part of the Psalter that we're probably I'll say least familiar or most uncomfortable with. I just want to read a few notes here. Lament can be defined as a loud cry, a howl, or a passionate expression of grief. And it is at least that. That's what lament is. But in the Bible, lament is more than talking about sorrow or sadness. It is more than walking through the stages of grief. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Do you see the trajectory here? A prayer in pain that leads to trust. It often begins by asking, God, where are you? And if you love me, why is this happening? I don't know if anybody can relate to that.
Well, praise, on the other hand, helps us because what it does is that it's not just a rah-rah. It's not just yay, God.
Yeah.
It's actually about God keeping his promise and that we get to fulfill what he actually designed and made us for, to rule this planet. Not by ourselves, but with his direction. And that's the beauty of the praise. It's not just, yay, God, but yay, God, keep your promise and make me what you wanted me to be. That's the hope of the ancient Israelites.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And go ahead. I was going to say, and it's a pathway. You know, it's before you can get to that praise, a lot of times you have to go through the brokenness and the pain and distress. And just to key in on something we said before, God doesn't want you to stay there. If you stay there, and some of us know what this feels like, that's despondency and despair and even bitterness to stay there. But thankfully, we don't have to stay there.
And let's keep in mind, one of the things that we haven't said yet, but we've got to be honest about, just as raw as our emotions are about, God, why is this happening to me? Let's keep in mind, that exile was made, that was a promise by God. He brought that pain. He brought that pain. So he is actively involved in all of our development. When we do well, he's going to bless us. But not always in the way that we think. But when we don't do well, he brings the rod of correction. And boy, does he bring it, right? And we'll sit there and think, do you hate me, God? But when reality is that that pain is designed for one thing and one thing only, to realign us with where he wants us to be. Judgment tends to start at the house of God. That's why it feels so painful for us. Mm. But it's always good for us because it takes us back, it puts us back on trajectory and get us where we need to go down the road.
I feel like that's a little full circle for what Pastor just said to us, even the big kids that we are, that the Bible is a mirror.
Amen.
Now, gentlemen, what are some things, and you've tickled at it a little bit, but let's make it a little bit personal. What are some things we learned from the Psalms? What have you learned? How have you interacted with it in your journey?
Yeah, I know for me, I knew it's a lot of what John was just saying. You know, when I read and began to understand the Psalms really well, I realized, man, these guys are like mad at God. Mm. When I was growing up, you don't get mad at your parents. If they thought you would get mad at them, they'd smack you, let alone God, right? But when I realized how real it was, it really took away the veneer for me because I couldn't just say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that with God. Wait, it's sitting there right in his word. And what do you do when it's right there? You can't deny that.
Not just that, Dean, but that's why I appreciated so much your word. The Psalms don't let you stay there. Because they're not just mad at God. I'm even more uncomfortable with the times when the Psalms are saying, smite my enemy.
Yes.
Smash their faces in. What?
Yeah.
But this is what we feel sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it boils out onto the paper, but the Psalms don't let you stay there. They always, not always, but almost always, and the trajectory of it always, they lead you to, but you're faithful, you're the one, you're the ruler, you reign. It always drives you to that place.
Right. Yeah.
You see some really weird, intimate moments of embarrassment.
Yes.
Psalm 51, yeah. David being confronted.
Yeah.
Nathan came to him, told him what he had done, and the anguish he felt.
Yeah, but how do you... So, I don't know about you, but if I was caught as badly as David, I wouldn't be writing it down.
Yeah.
That'd be
something
I'd be trying to push out of my brain. Yeah, yeah. I'd be trying to wipe it out of existence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this man
that
writes
off,
it down
that would be
and
off the
puts
internet.
It in a psalm to be sung. What is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I just want to, Keanu, Alicia used the word intimate, intimacy. For me, that's the key there of what the Psalms mean, is we are invited to be intimate with God. And I know we use that word intimate. I know what y'all are thinking when you hear the word intimate, right? And you know what? You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Intimacy is there is nothing between you and me. And that's what we're invited to. That's when I engaged God in the Psalms. That's the posture is there's nothing hidden.
Can I ask you how you do that, John?
Yeah.
How does that work?
So practicality wise, I always read the Psalms out loud. Hmm. Yeah, for me it doesn't work to do the silent reading. I read them out loud. The physicality of actually reading them, of hearing my voice, that actually does something. So I read them out loud. The other way, I guess we're getting to real practical stuff, is a lot of times I can't just read it once. I'll read it a few times. You know, the idea of repetition is really important for that. And you know, obviously I'll key in on images or repeated words or things that strike me. A lot of times in my morning time, I'll use the Psalms as like to spark me, you know, because I'm kind of dead in the morning, even with caffeine. You know, the Psalms will like spark my heart and then I can engage with God. But really, you know, to drink them in. And the other thing too, I think I mentioned this to you once, that is I really need to memorize Psalms. And that's something we're going to challenge us all this summer is to commit some of these to memory. Commit some of these to memory because if it's in your memory, you can chew on it. And I think a lot of times we think of the Bible as, you know, it's something I read, I analyze, I walk away with principles, and I apply them. And that's not a bad way to read. But another way to read is, here's a good analogy, a dog with a bone. If you've ever seen a dog with a bone, the dog will chew the bone, he'll chew the bone, he'll chew the bone, he'll bury the bone, he'll dig the bone up and chew it some more. And that's what we're called to do with God's words. I'm going to talk about that next week, what that looks like to chew on God's word until it becomes actually part of you.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times for me, what I like to do is go back and figure out what was going on for the psalm writers as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
One of the great ones for me was with David. You mentioned Psalm 51. He went a whole year after that sin with Bathsheba. And then Nathan rolls up, gives him this little parable and tells him, hey, man, you're the guy. And I remember sitting there and just kind of talking out loud with God. I was like, Lord, nobody can really hide from you, can you? And it was like he came back and said, like, yeah, so why do you try?
Ouch.
Really, why do you try?
Yeah.
I see you. I know. Why don't you just talk to me about it? And with David putting it on paper, I was like, okay, so he's not even trying to hide it anymore. He's leaving it for people to see. The king of Israel messed up royally, and he put it on record.
Okay? He messed up royally.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I'm writing that down.
Alicia, I'm gonna wrap it up with for me and toss it to your week. But I struggle with the Psalms. But I think one of you pointed this out, but it was what you were saying a second ago, John. I have always struggled with the Psalms because I go to the Scriptures almost exclusively looking for principles, and I'm looking for truths, and I'm looking for point number one. This is how I communicate, and it's also how I do this. So point number one and point number two, and what is God teaching me? And I realize partly through our discussions, my analogy would be the Psalms is much less, interacting with the Psalms is much less like, it's not like reading an Excel spreadsheet. It's like looking at a piece of art. You walk into an experience when you walk into the Psalms. We're meant to soak in the Psalms, and we're meant to enjoy the picture of it. We're meant to experience God even more than learning things about God. The learning about God will come out of the experience of God. And that is that's tough for me in my reading personally. The only way that I've gotten at that is, as John said, I've made it a habit over the years at times to memorize certain Psalms. And again, we'll be encouraging that this summer. I also play a guitar, and I have over the years tried to write some songs related to the Psalms. They're terrible, but the experience of trying to, put that to music, and it helps me memorize, and it also helps me experience. I'm going to force you to experience one of those before the summer is over, I promise. But again, the Psalms are meant to be experienced, and if you miss everything else, don't miss this. We miss something if we don't read the Psalms and learn how to experience them. They are the training ground for our inclinations. They train us to feel and to respond to our life in a God-honoring way. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Thank you, guys. Mostly Dean and John are going to be taking us through a series this summer where we're going to be looking at individual psalms each week. They're all going to be from book one. So we're only going to do book one through the next 5 or 6 or 7 weeks. We'll take individual psalms, but we will also regularly point to that overall structure of the Psalms and recognize together that it's not just this individual atomized thing, but it has an overall structure, and God's pointing us somewhere. All right, let me close this in prayer. Father, thanks so much for your word, and the Psalms is a rich part of that. And I pray over the course of these next weeks, Lord, that you'll train our hearts to read this part of your word in all of its richness and to experience it. Lord, we love you. And with that, I mean, if we're honest this morning, we also bring some other things. And so right now, we bring all that we know of ourselves to all that we know of you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.